Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds as we move closer to the regular season. Oh, so excited. And big stars news. That 13th forward position that we've been talking about has been decided. And we thought we'd dive into that 13th forward position and talk about making his regular season debut likely on Thursday is Stars draft pick Oscar Beck. And joining us is one of the guys who I think knows Beck more than a lot of others because he is the best at covering your Texas Stars. From 100 Degree Hockey, it's Steven Meserve. How are you?
Doing great, Gavin. Very excited to have hockey on the horizon.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay, so first things first, we were just having a good laugh off the air. Spelled differently, but the pronunciation is Beck, but could be changed, just like Heiskanen Heiskanen was, just like Bixel and Bischel was, and it's just one of those things where to be determined. But for now, it's Oscar Beck.
Oscar Beck, that's right. Spelled with the A with the umlauts. You need to find that on your keyboard.
Yes.
To make sure that you spell that correctly, please. Oscar Beck is one of those guys who I think for a lot of us who follow Dallas Stars prospects for a while, he was kind of a ghost for a hot minute there. Drafted in 2018, and he's one of those guys who stayed in Europe. I felt like I had only heard about him. I had never seen him in the flesh for such a long time. It feels like he's been in the system for a long time. And to be honest, he has. He was drafted in 2018. It's 2024 now. That's 6 years. That's a long time in prospect development. But he is in the right spot at the right time to be the guy that the Dallas Stars need. And I know it doesn't seem to jump off the page at you, but he does have skills that he showed off in the AHL that I think are going to be very valuable to the Dallas Stars roster.
Let's get into a couple of those things. One, preseason wise, Steven, you know, I pulled this stat today. Faceoff win percentage in the 5 of 6 preseason games that he played, 67%. He was 18 for 30 on the draw, did have 3 points. So he did have a very good preseason up in camp for the Stars. Is that something that was the case last year, his face-off win percentage? Did he become a good draw man for the Texas Stars?
He has always been good on the dots. He's a great face-off guy. The center role for him is a great spot. You know, he's one of those guys who every once in a while you have those players, maybe you see it less in the NHL now, but you used to see those guys that got sent over the boards just to win the draw, and then they'd come back off.
Yes.
Right? And he was one of those guys, actually, for Neil Graham's crew down here in Cedar Park, where you'd send him out there to win a key draw, and then he'd come off so that the rest of the line could be together, that whatever trio it was. And Texas was really good on the dots, especially 2 years ago, and he was a big part of that. And think about, you know, winning the faceoff. I know this is, obviously you want to win faceoffs, but why do you want to win faceoffs? Because then you have control of the puck.
Yep.
And you can get it to your offensive talents. You can get, you know, the high scoring offense that Dallas expects to have can go to work. Think about winning draws on the penalty kill. Again, you've got control of the puck. You can ice it, get it out of your zone. You can break out in a controlled fashion instead of having to win it back. That 67% number, probably not sustainable over the course of the season against NHL competition, but I would be willing to bet he's going to be north of 50. And, you know, it's all marginal at that point. You know, staying in the 50s is a great number, especially for a guy in his first season. That's a key part of what he's able to do and what he's able to bring.
Good size, but at the same time, it's interesting because am I looking at another Radek Foxa? I mean, a defensive forward that can win the draw?
You might be, and okay, at a cheaper rate as
yeah.
Well. You know, we got to talk about that too. I mean, Oscar Beck is coming in at a pretty low cost, under $1 million, compared to,
yep,
compared to where Radek Foxa was on a multi-year deal and a pretty high cap number. And so if you can basically get the same performance out of a player at, but a fifth the cost, I believe, basically, you're going to do that every time because you got to save dollars for, you know, Thomas Harley's deal, right? That added numbers to your cap, and you're trying to save pennies everywhere you can. I think, you know, the thing that I think Oscar is had in Texas that was the one thing that all of us, at least up in the press box, would always look and see. He was always right there on plays, and the scoring touch wasn't always there. I know sometimes he would go long through long periods of being snake bit, but that wasn't also what he was being asked to do. He wasn't necessarily on your top two lines driving the play forward offensively. He's helping to be a shutdown guy, come out there in difficult situations. He was part of a penalty kill unit with Freddie Karlstrom, who's now with the Islanders organization, where they were the first two guys over the boards, right? And because that was your win the draw, clear it out, put pressure on, play against those hardest minutes against the man advantage for the other side. That's the sort of thing that he can bring, and I think that's also part of why he's able to be in that 13th forward role, is that his game lends itself well to playing in the bottom six in the NHL. He doesn't need top 6 minutes to be effective in the role that he is. His role is a bottom six role, a PK role, a defensive role, win control of the puck and get it out so that your top two lines can do what they need to do.
I think a lot of Stars fans were surprised, though, that I think for many thought that Cole Lynn would get that gig as well as Artu Huru. Those were, to me, the top two, and then Beck came in third. So, kind of interesting, but this is why I love having you on, Stephen, because you described basically a role that they need to be filled on Thursday.
Yeah, when you think about Cole Lind, we haven't had a chance to see him play here in Cedar Park, at least in a Texas Stars uniform. He's played here in a Coachella Valley uniform, actually, in the past. But think about his role, and you look at his numbers. He scored over 60 points in about 70 games here in the AHL last year. He's an offensive guy, right? And I don't know all the ins and outs of his game on the defensive side, but I'd be willing to bet that Oscar Beck is a more reliable defensive forward than Cole Lind is in what we've seen in the preseason and over the course of a season. That's the kind of guy you need. Think about, do you need another Matt Duchene? Or do you need a guy to replace Radek Faksa, which is, what you just alluded to? And Oscar Beck is a low dollar replacement for Radek Faksa. And that is what you need in the lineup. And that's a tough thing. When Sean and I were working through the book that we wrote, We Win Here About the Texas Stars, one of the sections in the middle, we tried to build a lineup, an all-star lineup for the Texas Stars all time. And we actually did it two ways. We did an all-star lineup, which was just all the best players, top to bottom. So you have a guy who played first line minutes on the fourth line because you were just listing all the best players. But then we went through and did a separate exercise where we said, well, what if we put people who were best at being the fourth line on the fourth line on our all-time team? And that's kind of what you need to think about, is you need guys who are good at that third, fourth line role. You can't have a team full of all-stars because it's a bunch of role players and everybody's got a job to do. And Oscar Beck fills a job that needs to be done on the Dallas Stars.
I was thinking when the players hit waivers and they all cleared that, I said, wow, Steven's going to have a lot of fun because it has to come together, not just on paper, but man, the Texas Stars are going to be stacked this year. I mean, you look defensively, what they have, and then you get to see Big Bish down there and develop. And, there's just Capo Bianco is going to be down there. Cole Lynn's going to be down there. Huru's going to be down there. That's a really stacked Texas Stars team.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I was actually talking with John Peterson, who's the media director down here, the other day, and we were kind of running through the lineup. And like you mentioned, the defense, I mean, this is a stout defense. You've got, like I said, Capobianco. You've got Petrovic potentially paired there together. You got Bixel. You got a guy named Luke Chris, who hopefully a lot of Dallas Stars fans took notice of in the preseason. And then you've got Christian Kyrou, right, with a guy that a lot of people probably don't know, probably pair with Michael Caro, who's a longtime AHL veteran. And then you've got seven, eight, nine defensemen who probably could be playing in the AHL full time. That's a really stacked group. And then, like you mentioned, you've got Huru, you've got Cameron Hughes, Cole Lind, you've got standbys like Curtis McKenzie, Jeff Lemel, Antonio Stranges, Matt Semenoff, Kyle McDonald. Like, these are all guys who, a lot of those guys were brand new last year. They're coming into their sophomore season. They know the league. They know how to prepare. I'm really excited to see what some of those players do. I especially put a star on guys like, Kyle McDonald and Matt Semenoff coming into their second year, who had a certain role in year one. Can they grow and adapt and evolve in year two? You know, McDonald was a lot of a power play specialist. Can he be more responsible and more scoring at even strength? Semenov played like a fourth line center type role. Can he elevate his game a little bit there? And then the last part to mention is, I mean, goaltending, right? They went out and signed Magnus Helberg, which is a great insurance policy for Ottinger and DeSmith,
Sure
but
is.
man, he's going to win some games for the Texas Stars, and because he's a solid goaltender at this level, he's going to steal some, and that's going to be a really good thing because you know it's a young league overall. It's a young roster just because of the way that the development rule works in the AHL. You're going to need a veteran journeyman defense goalie who can get in there and help, and I think he's going to be able to play that role.
Do you think it hurts the development of the other goaltenders in the system?
I think it's a put up or shut up moment,
For Remy
I'll be
Poirier?
honest. Yeah, for
Yeah.
Remy Poirier, he's in the last year of his deal, and there could have been a scenario if you felt really confident in the way that Remy Poirier was developing, or even Matt Murray, who's now not in the system, right? He's now in Nashville. If you had felt confident in their development, you wouldn't have signed Magnus Helberg. So this is basically saying, prove it, prove that Magnus Helberg should just be the 1A. Or sorry, the 1B, excuse me, in Texas, and you're the 1A. So show us that you're ready to be the call up if, you know, Casey DeSmith gets injured. So I mean, and that's it's sports. This is all competition, right? And they've also got a third goalie who showed pretty well in the Dallas preseason, Ben Cross, who's nipping at their heels. So there's just a lot of good competition, and I think we've seen based on not only Dallas, but across the league, you can never have enough goaltenders in the system ready to go. And so adding that competition, creating that element of almost coopetition, if you want, it's like a competitive cooperation where, you know, Helberg and Poirier are certainly going to be battling it out for starts, but Poirier will also be learning from a veteran Helberg at the same time. This is the model of development in the AHL. I think it's really going to be a strong goaltending duo or trio.
What line last year, Stephen, was Oscar Beck on?
Beck played a lot. We called it the umlaut line. He played a lot with Freddie Karlstrom and Matei Blumel. He centered that line, and so that was a really strong. I would argue they were the second line often, although occasionally the third line. Blumel shifted in and out a little bit. Sometimes he jumped up to that top line with Stankoven and Bork, but then eventually they settled in with McKenzie on that line. So yeah, they played the Euro line, all the umlauts on that line.
And Beck did have a good Calder Cup playoff, so we have seen kind of a bunch of games now that seems as though his game, I don't want to say taken to the next level, but on the plus side.
Absolutely. I think he really found a way to make his game work for him, you know, work with the players that he, you know, that he's on a line with. I'm really interested to see what his chemistry is like. You know, is he able to plug in anywhere? He really, a lot of times last year, went around with Frederik Karlstrom a ton. Like they were kind of a duo. I know, I'm trying to remember that was mentioned at one point. I believe Ken Hitchcock had said, back in the day that like you have the sort of line duos and then you plug in a third guy to see what the chemistry is like. Those two are a real duo over their time with the Texas Stars, which pretty much overlapped entirely. But I got to tell you, as far as the Texas Stars fans here, nobody's surprised to see him be the 13th forward because you know the type of role that he could play, and the way that he wins faceoffs and plays defensively. I think he's going to be a really good addition to that team and be able to plug in and help them win control of the puck and keep the puck out of their net and drive the play forward for that top line to get their chances.
You spend so much time with these players. What kind of person is Beck? Do you, quiet? Is he, you know, what kind of room guy are we looking at?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday, and he's a really talkative guy. He is quite talkative. He gives good quotes and those sorts of things. I remember when we were doing a story with him and Frederick, who both had come into the league at the same time from Sweden, and I had to do the interview over Zoom because it was COVID time and all those sorts of things. And they were in the lobby of a hotel that they were in. They had just gotten into Rockford, Illinois, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or something like that. And just like he just had a real breezy, at ease approach to the interview, to the conversation. Didn't take himself too seriously. Just I think real good, level headedness about him. And I know from talking to folks on the team that he is a really good guy to talk to. There's this, probably overblown stereotype of the Euro guys. Oh, they're quiet and very, they don't like to talk a ton. But they, if there is a mold, then Beck breaks that mold because he's a talker. He's a good guy overall to have a conversation with. I hope he's able to give some good quotes and we get a chance to hear him and see him make his as he makes his debut and get some good quotes out of that.
Absolutely. And it's never too early. The holidays are going to be here before we know it. A lot of birthdays in the fall. If you know a hockey fan in this area, what a great gift. The book is We Win Here, the definitive essays you need to know about the Texas Stars, and it translates to the Dallas Stars. Some terrific storytelling. The foreword written by Curtis McKenzie. And yes, Curtis actually sat down and one of the true leaders down in Texas, and he wrote this. So that's how much he thinks of Steven and Sean. And of course, they're two of our Spits and Suds favorites at 100 Degree Hockey on Twitter. Steven, what else do we need to plug today?
Gosh, I think that's about it. I'm just
Nice.
excited because we are about to start the season, and
Yes.
100 Degree Hockey has added some staff writers as well who'll be helping to cover
Congrats.
the game. So very excited about that, and to give an opportunity to some folks here who are going to have the chance to cover what we hope is a really exciting and successful season for the Texas Stars and ultimately for the Dallas Stars as well, because that success just continues to make its way up I-35.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to go down I-35 and catch some Texas Stars action this year. It's going to be really, really cool. It's a great barn. And not to give too much away, but on 100 Degree Hockey, you're going to have a really, really cool article coming out soon, which I'm excited to post about the success of the Texas Stars organization.
Yeah, they last season, in case you didn't know, they had 13 sellouts, which is a
Amazing.
record for them. And if you think about it, that's a third of their home games they sold out, which is incredible. And they just won a league award for best game presentation across the entire league. So if you want to see some really good presentation overall and the way that a hockey game could be more than just what's on the ice, come down, check out Cedar Park. It's a great, great situation. Give me a ring. Hit me up on Twitter if you're coming down. We'll come say hi because they do a really great job putting on a game down here. So if the Dallas Stars are out of town, come on down, make a weekend of it.
You are awesome, sir, and thank you so much. It's one of the questions Stars fans have been asking regarding can you give us the lowdown on Oscar Beck? And Steven certainly delivered. Steven, you are awesome. We'll have you on again soon, my friend. See you soon.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Gavin. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thanks to all of you. I wanted to say a big thank you because the offseason is ending and now the grind begins. But the cool thing on Spits and Suds, it never stopped because you guys said, hey, we're enjoying this, and you guys gave us regular season numbers in the off season. So thank you so much, and can't wait to lead up to Thursday's game. And of course, we'll be on with a post-game podcast Thursday after the game in Nashville. And you know what happens right here on 105.3 The Fan with Spits and Suds. Have a great day, everyone.